Welcome to Ministry Focus. I'm Deb Weaver. With me in the studio today is John Eisenberg, Assistant Regional Director for the Mid-Atlantic Region of InterVarsity. And that's a mouthful for a title, John. I'd like to welcome you to the WDAC microphone today.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
It's good to be here.
We want to give our listeners a real feel for what InterVarsity is. There are a lot of different facets and ministries reaching out to college students. Define InterVarsity for us as far as your purpose and what you hope to accomplish.
Sure. Well, a long time ago, Martin Luther said that if you want to change the world, change the university, and I think that's still true. Mm-hmm. So we go to the university recognizing that it's a critical time in people's lives. The decisions that students are going to be making over the course of 4 years will shape not just what they do for those 4 years, but really the 40 years of working and beyond. It's also a critical place because of the nature of the marketplace of ideas at the campus is that students will start encountering all kinds of worldviews that they may not have encountered before. So we go to campus really to establish witnessing communities that are going to grow in love with four things: God, God's Word, God's people, and God's purposes.
Okay.
So we're really about establishing chapters on campuses across the country. The chapters are going to include Christians and non-Christians alike that will, in the end, we want to see people that are transformed by God's love so that the campus is renewed, but ultimately world changers are developed, and that's really that's what our passion is.
Okay. Well, how big is this?
In the Mid-Atlantic, the InterVarsity serves about 2,200 students on 31 campuses. The Mid-Atlantic is D.C., Maryland, Delaware, and eastern two-thirds of Pennsylvania. Nationally, we're on 600-plus campuses serving about 35,000 students. In central Pennsylvania specifically, we have five chapters.
We also want to link probably in this section of our conversation, IFES.
InterVarsity is the U.S. Charter member of IFES, the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. IFES serves, I don't know how many students, but we have probably 120 or more countries around the world where we have a chapter that is working mostly with college students, sometimes with high school students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm one to visit websites, and I appreciated the vision of students and faculty transformed, campuses renewed, and world changers developed.
Mm-hmm.
How do you really do that?
That's a good question.
That's a big chunk. I mean, that is a noteworthy mission, to be sure.
Well, I think in terms of the world changers developed, there's I'll sort of start there and work backwards.
Okay.
The sense of what is world, you could talk about the world in terms of the whole globe, or you could talk about the world being the community in which people live. And so we really start on campus with the world of the campus. We want to equip students while they're in college to start developing a lifestyle that's going to reflect kingdom values, that they're not going to think, they're not going to have their faith and then what they do in the classroom, what they do with their hallmates, what they do socially is completely independent. We want them to be integrated and mission-focused, that they're going out wherever they are to try and help people into a relationship with Jesus. So world changers in some ways sounds big, but it starts very small, like a mustard seed on the college campuses, where individual staff are working with student leaders, we're a student-led organization, to really figure out how do they help the leaders go into a peer environment and be bold about being Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that involves creating events where you're going to provoke conversation about faith. Some of it's finding people that are already Christians and helping them go deeper in their faith and helping them think about how do they talk about that with their friends or how does it impact what they do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really through a combination of relationships and some program elements. We have small group Bible studies. We have short-term mission projects of various sorts. A large group worship meeting will happen on most campuses weekly, conferences, so forth and so on. But all those programmatic elements are really to create opportunities for relationships where people are going to together see more of God in their own life and think about how does that shape what they do, where they live, which is their world.
Okay. And if they come up with any ideas on their own, they... depending on the maybe the personality of the campus on which they are.
Sure, a lot of what the ministry looks like is contextualized. We like to talk about how every And in some ways, you'll have regional schools, you'll have liberal arts schools that are consistent, but every campus has a little bit of its own feel. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what we're trying to do as staff is go and help students recognize, so what's the ethos of this campus? What might Jesus be doing here? What are some of the ways that we should talk about Jesus that will make sense to people, mm-hmm. And really engage them where they're hungry? Mm-hmm. So it does look a little different everywhere. And part of the developing world changers really is helping people to identify what are the needs in their immediate context and how they speak the gospel into those needs. Mm-hmm. So students will come in saying, I really want to do this. And part of what the staff and leadership, student leaders will do is help focus, okay, this is where we want to see the fellowship go.
Yeah.
Does that fit? Does that not fit?
What are they up against? What is the, every generation seems like there is a hot button as far as the worldview is mm-hmm. concerned. And Christian students on a secular campus today, mm-hmm. what's the worldview?
I think this is not necessarily a surprise. If you, most people listening, I'm sure, will recognize that there's issues around materialism and consumerism. When you get into the marketplace of ideas, there's a lot of plurality of truth or relativism that's pretty prevalent. There is a really deep-seated spiritual hunger, a hunger for significance. In fact, our fall conference, which is an evangelism conference of sorts, will be focusing on what is significant, what is the significance that God offers to us. So I think students are really hungry for that, but where they're looking to find significance is not always in a relationship with God. And often, I think it happens, there's a spiritual openness that's almost a pick-and-choose, mix-and-match kind of thing where people will say, well, you believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe, and belief systems become an amalgamation mm-hmm. of a lot of different ideas there.
Okay. Any real-life stories that you would like to share, just so we get a feel for maybe how your wife also, you shared with me, is in this with you, too. So
correct.
this is a whole family immersion, I guess, now as
sure.
schools are starting. But what have you experienced?
I know one student that was a sophomore, and she was really feeling fired up. God had given her a heart for the students around her, wanting them to know Jesus, but recognized that she wasn't really sure how to engage those folks because she had surrounded herself freshman year with just Christians. Mm-hmm. And so she was trying to figure out, how do I be more missional about what I'm doing on campus? So she decided to go hang out with some in a freshman dorm and go to the cafeteria with a bunch of freshmen, and struck up a conversation with some people who it was a pretty vivid image. They had a T-shirt on that was a picture of Satan, I guess, that was saying, God's busy, can I help you? And she's like, well, I guess those are the people I'm supposed to talk to. So she struck up a friendship, and it turned out that they knew a lot of scripture from whatever their background was, but weren't particularly interested in God. And she was really feeling like, well, I want to do something to manifest God's love for them. So over a span of weeks, she would go, and she had the staff person go with her to talk to this group of people. And eventually this group of people actually said, well, we'd like to, we're curious about why are you doing this? And, yeah, maybe I'd be open to coming to what we call a gig, a group investigating God, which is a short-term commitment. We ask people to commit 3 or 4 weeks, an hour a week, to just read through a couple passages and talk about them. So those are some different stories of things that either ways students have encountered God, or in some ways, in that last story, a world changer is being developed.
Absolutely. And so you're providing tools and a place to actually invite people to, but you're also providing a whole support system
right.
for the college students.
A number of years ago, there was a dissertation written actually about InterVarsity in a secular campus and the value that it adds to a secular campus. And the dissonance that's often felt and talked about, and I think most listeners would sort of feel, mm-hmm. In some ways actually I think helps us, because people will come in and they'll be sort of confronted in where they may have been in a pretty safe environment, they're suddenly realizing, wow, there's a lot of worldviews. It starts at them asking their own questions.
Yeah.
And then the fellowship becomes a place where they can say, hey, I don't know how to answer these questions, or what do I do with the professor who's talking about Genesis as being a complete lie the first day of my freshman bio class? And you start having conversations about that. And so you start trying to figure out, how do I engage? Do I believe this? Do I not believe this? Mm-hmm. It's a set of relational support structures, I suppose, that will help that process.
Yeah, it sounds like a safe place to do it. That's excellent. Well, I'm suspecting that a lot of our listeners right now are not in college right now.
That's
but,
true.
You know, this is something that we can certainly pray about, and I'll ask you how we can pray for you a little bit later. But are there any other ways that we can be involved?
Sure, that's a great question. Well, I think there's really there's three main ways people partner with us as we minister to students during this critical time. Some people give volunteer time, some people give in-kind gifts, and some people give direct financial gifts. I'd like to highlight a couple options. One of my personal needs is office space somewhere near F&M or Lancaster, preferably with high-speed internet access. Another need is more explicitly financial, and that's scholarship money. In fall, we'll be having an evangelistic conference. Last year, we had about 200 students come from 8 campuses and saw 25 students profess faith in Jesus. But the $100 conference fee can be a significant deterrent to people coming, especially non-Christians. So anything that people wanted to give to help underwrite non-Christians attending the conference would be wonderful. There's also a desire to, we want to help more people in the WDAC listening area celebrate what God's doing across the Mid-Atlantic and what is happening really across the country on secular campuses. So if there were some business people that felt like they wanted to help sponsor a weekly radio spot, that would be wonderful and mutually beneficial, we believe. And finally, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. That really varies by campus. It can be everything from providing cookies or snacks to folding newsletters to helping at conferences. If you're moved to help in any of these ways, you can contact me, and I'd be happy to connect you with the relevant person.
As always, our time is flying by, and that's always a sad thing. But this is not a sad thing, because we'd like to know, how can we pray for you specifically, John? You and your wife, as things are really moving into gear right now.
Well, what we've seen pretty consistently is the first 6 weeks of the freshman experience is when decisions are being made. Certainly people will change their minds or explore other options down the road, but really right now is a critical time. So I think the things you could be praying for are for openness among freshmen, that they don't that they can explore a lot of options. For Christians, hopefully their options are exploring fellowship. For non-Christians, that they're sort of open to thinking about things beyond what they might have experienced previously. Mm-hmm. For the staff and student leaders of the organizations, just, I think, a lot of energy for new relationships. There's a lot of different events happening at campuses to try and create touch points for the incoming students to find out that there is a Christian group on campus and how they can get involved or how it might be relevant for their campus experience. But it's, last year in the first 6 weeks, at Franklin and Marshall, the fellowship met 200 new students, just trying to meet as many people as possible. They're students, too, so they've got a lot of classwork going on and other things. So the energy and wisdom to know what events to do, how to engage, follow up. I mean, just meeting somebody once isn't enough. You want to be building a relationship that will last and lead to some deeper questions. I think the last thing that I would say you could be praying for right now, we have this fall conference that I mentioned in October. That's a harvest event of sorts. We really try and get a lot of people exploring questions of Jesus, and then for a weekend we'll go away and have a more sort of opportunity for deeper conversation, deeper teaching. So you could be praying for students to come to that conference, for the resources that are needed for that conference on all levels, the sound, logistics, speakers, so forth and so on, to come together, and for God to be moving.
Okay, a lot to pray for, and big things, too. So thank you.
Thank you, John, for having us.
You're welcome. You're out to change the world by creating world changers, and just really amazing that he can do beyond our imagination in some of these young people. I mean, who knows, when you're down the road and can look back and think, you know, there was a seed planted there, or there was, you know.
I think the hardest part is not, we don't necessarily see the fruit. We will one day, but you don't know what's going to happen from our effort.
Exactly. So thank you, and our encouragement goes with you.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, you've been listening to Ministry Focus, and our guest has been John Eisenberg, Assistant Regional Director for the Mid-Atlantic Region for InterVarsity. Thanks for listening.